I don't know, man. I'm feeling like this Heat offense is getting better. They're playing better. Could make a little splash down the road here. Heat Knicks last night. Good win for the Miami Heat. Joining us to talk all about it and a lot more this morning, Will Manso, WPLG, and also Bally Sports for the Miami Heat. Good morning, Will. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well. It's much better to talk to you when the Heat are playing well than the last couple times we've talked when we've been trying to figure out what's wrong with them.
So help me out. They're all of a sudden, are they getting better looks? They just look like they're playing better offensively. Everybody's role, I know they're healthier. What's your take? Because they are definitely playing better basketball.
I mean, you know, as far as the shots, I asked the guys now a lot in the last week and a half, like, what's been the difference? I mean, you guys couldn't throw it in the ocean the last, you know, 4 months from three, and all of a sudden you look like the team you're supposed to be from three. And they said it has to do with movement and spacing and, you know, getting good looks, maybe looks they weren't getting. And, Joe, when you look at it, I know as crazy as it sounds, but I think Spo has figured something out now with Kyle Lowry back, having him off the bench with the second unit and then spurts it with the closing unit, that they're able to pace better, space better, and get the looks that they want. Now, obviously, Jimmy being a superstar and being able to take over games helps. But I think overall, what they've got going now with the rotation is working, so Spo's not going to mess with it. And they're winning games, and winning games, more importantly, the way they're supposed to win games, which is tough defense and hitting threes.
So that's what I wanted to ask you, the second part of that. Eric Reed wasn't sure. You think Spo will keep Lowry coming off the bench the rest of the way here, including the playoffs?
I think so. You know, I think they've talked to Kyle about, you know, working, you know, making sure that, first of all, he's healthy with that knee that was giving him trouble. And look, I know that Kyle takes a lot of stuff from Heat fans and media, and deservedly so, too, for the way he played early in the season. But when he stopped playing a few weeks ago, when they said, hey, look, you got to get this knee right and you can't play, he was getting burned on every play and he couldn't get around anyone. And they needed to sit him. And I think he got healthy. He used that time and he looks more like the Lowry in spurts he's supposed
to
be. So I think Spo's going to stick with what's working. And why not? Because, again, you know how it is with Spo, Joe. It's more who closes than who starts. And Kyle's been in the impactful minutes down the stretch of games.
Well, I'll tell you what. And Tyler Hero, who it just kind of – you kind of notice, and now the numbers are coming out like, wow, he's really hitting a lot of big shots at the end of games, whether they win or lose. But he's hitting some big-time threes. And, again, last night, man, he throws in everybody's face with 14 of his 22 points. That guy, he doesn't lack confidence for shooting for sure, huh?
No, I mean, what Spo said the other day, he's got the clutch gene, you know. And
yes, he does.
I sometimes you got to laugh at that, but it's the truth. Like, there's something Spo said, you know, hey, I wish I could just tell him, hey, the first, second, and third quarter is the fourth quarter so you could get going. But I think another thing Spo's done quietly is he's kind of staggered Tyler's minutes to where he keeps him really fresh, where Tyler was at a point last night pretty late in the game getting toward the fourth where he only played 20 minutes. So then you can ride him in that fourth, and you know he's got the confidence and whatever you want to call it, clutch gene or not. I mean, look, would you like to be more consistent for the first three? Sure. But if you do that in the fourth in the big moments, it doesn't really matter. He's, like, ready to go always.
Yes, he is. And it has been fun to watch. Jimmy Butler, since the All-Star break, his numbers are way, way up.
Ridiculous.
What happened? Is it just like, all right, enough for the missing games? I'm going to play, and I'm going to be real good because they need me?
Yeah, I think so, Joe. I think it's two things. Number one is I give Jimmy credit, man. He could be maniacal. He could be difficult to deal with. He could be a little, you know, tough. I mean, let's face it. He is a tough guy, and it's sometimes overwhelming how just crazy he is in his work and in his attitude and his hating of losing, which is probably why Pat Riley loves him. But I think to Jimmy's credit, he trains every day, works on his shot, improves on his game, works on his three, you know. Someone in his early 30s, you know, approaching his mid-30s, it's kind of like what Dwayne did, where you have to evolve your game. But the difference is Jimmy's not past his prime yet. I mean, Jimmy's at the point where he can still play bully ball, but now he's evolved his game where he can slow up and hit a three. So I think, and I think you mentioned it too, Joe, in a game where, in a league where star players are constantly resting, Jimmy has been on level 10 of 10 since even before the All-Star break. But since the All-Star break, he's been at a superstar elite level that – maybe four or five players in the league have been playing at the last month or so.
So, Will, I got to ask you something else. This is more the sports all-around guy for me because you put something out on social media, and we've been talking about it too. The World Baseball Classic was unbelievable. as a.
Yeah, it was.
I mean, it was tremendous. I couldn't stop watching, going back to. And I know some of the other parts of the country don't get the whole Venezuelan, Puerto Rican, Dominican, mm-hmm. and baseball's king, and Japan, obviously, as we've seen. But it was so good to see that ballpark electric every yeah. night, including that championship game and the way it finished. Captains going against each other, teammates, and maybe the two mm-hmm. best players in baseball. So how do we play off that going into the Marlins season? And I'm not trying to be down, because I know you asked the same question, but you've obviously had time to talk to people. What are your thoughts?
Hey, you know, it's funny, Joe, it's all everyone was talking about the other night, you know, before the game, as the crowds, because now you were, you know, 15 games, 475,000 fans. That's 32,000 a game. And again, every game wasn't, you know, there were games that were played at noon, you know, and they were getting 30,000. So it can't just be like every game was primetime, big game Shohei against Mike Trout. I mean, every game was its own game, and I get the country and the nation. Look, you're not going to get 32,000 in games in South Florida for Marlins 81 times. I get it. But just to get some sort of support, and I think the same answer applies, Joe, and we've heard it for two decades now. It's you got to get players, you got to keep players, you got to pay players, and you got to give them a chance to be a consistent winner. You can't just, you know, the thing we learned from the Lurie regime is they would get players and then struggle, right? And would be disappointed, win 75 games, and then blow it up.
Right.
And you can't do that. You got to say to yourself, and it takes an owner that doesn't mind for a year taking a hit and saying, hey, I still believe in the product. I think we can get better. Grow those players, homegrown players, sign players from the outside. But that takes years, Joe. That's not just one year. Like, lightning in a bottle would be great that they win 90 games to surprise people. I don't think that's going to happen with this team. I wish I had the exact answer, but I think the one thing we could all take away from this, there are baseball fans here. There are people that truly love the game, you know, that love watching the game. And if you give them a good product, they're going to come. It's just a matter of giving them a good product.
So that you just hit the one argument and debate that everybody has. So my take is Bruce Sherman doesn't have the money to go out and go, I'm going to spend millions more, even if I got to take a hit to get some really good players in here. And if that means I got to go get a superstar and I know it's going to cost me money, I'm going to do it. And that pisses them off over there. They hate to hear, like, we have money. I'm not a poor owner. You need to stop. So I don't know. Are you worth Mickey and Stephen Ross money? Let me know.
Or Cohen, the guy with the Mets. Like, I know that's a bad comparison because that guy's above all. But I'm just saying the commitment, Joe. I think to your point, look, can the Marlins sign players? Yeah, they went and got Soler and Garcia. They re-signed Sandy. I mean, there's money there to pay payroll, a solid payroll. To their credit, their payroll is higher than it's ever been.
Yes,
right
it
now,
is. I'm glad you said that. Yes.
100%. But the problem is, while they're doing that and kind of incrementally moving up the ladder, other teams are spending $300-400 million in superstars, and the Marlins just won't do it. You can't say they can't do it, because if you have the money, you absolutely can. There's no rules against it. They don't put themselves there for the Carlos Correa. And how about Trey Turner, a local kid from South Florida, grew up in Boynton Beach, went to high school in Lake Worth. He's a young star who hits 25 homers and steals 35 bases, but they can't afford to pay him $300 million. They just can't. They can. Again, it goes back, they can pay him. They just won't, because maybe he doesn't have the money. Maybe he doesn't want to invest that money. I understand. Look, it's not my money. $300 million is a lot for a player. But if you want to compete, those are the things you have to do at some point.
And by the way, to be fair, I really like this guy they picked up, Arise. He just looks like
he's
going to be really good. And he wants to be here, obviously, Venezuelan and large population. So coming kind of back home for him, right?
Good young kid, too. Like, he's fun. He's great in the clubhouse. He wants to win. Like, I met him a couple times, and you saw what he did in the World Baseball Classic. Look, I think the Marlins can be competitive, and that's the thing. Can they be competitive enough to get interest right and down the stretch in big moments? And then could those guys get better and grow homegrown talent? You keep them, and in 2-3 years, you're really a contender. Those are the things we're going to find out with Bruce Sherman these next few years, because you know what? It didn't work with Jeter. The Jeter regime definitely did not work, and they're sort of like in phase two of a rebuild that started 5-6 years ago.
Hey, Will, I got to tell you before I let you go. I can't talk Marlins with you without remembering being home at lunchtime, turning on, watching WPLG, and you're up there, and you are blasting Jeffrey Lurie when he was making that tour with his PR department. It should have been called PR Disaster. and he's asking you.
Oh, man.
No, that was classic when he went after everybody, and he didn't even know his own shortstop's name, but he was going after, do you know baseball?
Oh, man.
Well, that's a classic, funny, brother.
I almost missed those days of the one time we'd get Jeffrey Loria at spring training day one, and he would sit there and mock us and laugh at us because we think the ball's going to stick, and he'd put his finger in the air and say, you don't know baseball, wait until you see this team. And then a year later we'd say, hey, what happened to that team?
Right.
what happened to that team?
I hope you're doing better with Bruce Sherman. I hope you're doing better with old
Look,
Bruce.
This is I'm glad you said that, Joe, kind of what you touched on earlier. I like the folks, the baseball people, the PR staff. I mean, I get along with everyone there, and I think they really genuinely are trying to be better. But we're having two different conversations. We're talking about really, truly competing for World Series and then just being better and competitive. I think they could be better and competitive, but that's not what's going to bring the fan back nightly. They need to win and win consistently, and I'm not sure they could do it.
Well, always great having you, man. Thank you so much. So I thought we were fair on everything we talked about. It was fair, and was it shots and open-minded, kind of like in relationships. You know, I'm not setting my ways. I'm good. So good stuff, Will.
Yeah,
thank you.
Always my pleasure. It's good to talk to you.
All right. Will Manso, WPLG, also part of the Heat broadcast. All right. We got to go to break. We got a lot more stuff to get to. Stay with us. We'll be back in just a moment. We got some tickets to give away.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.